This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Jewelry can say many things on your wedding day. As a wedding band, it can say, "This is a forever symbol of our forever love." As a gift to your wedding party, it can say, "Thanks for standing up there with us." Blue Nile can help you find the piece that says it all and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
To the glory days at the stick. From who's got it better than us to brick by brick. It's always the 49ers way, from off season to game day. Yeah, we talk back. It's the 49ers cutback.
It's 49ers Cutback Podcast time. Welcome to the show, everyone. This is going to be a fun episode because we're going to be talking about some of the concerns maybe the 49ers could be facing in 2024. And the question marks are always, what is the biggest concern? When you get into the offseason, that's what the team is trying to figure out. John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are trying to figure out where they potentially have weaknesses, and they're trying to improve on those weaknesses. So they bring in players through free agency, or they draft players to fill certain holes and certain things that they need to get done. And that's exactly what the 49ers have tried to do during the offseason. But like all things, we as fans and we as a fan base and as a media, we see holes potentially still in the 49ers room as far as depth. We see it as far as maybe how they match up against teams in the NFC West, teams in the NFC. So how exactly do you go about finding those concerns and then being able to overcome them? Did the 49ers overcome all their concerns? I think that's an interesting thought process that we're going to go through in this episode. And hopefully by the end of the episode, we are going to come up with a thought process on if the 49ers have overcome their concerns or if there's still concerns that they still have to prove out on the field. It's going to be a fun one. I'm glad everyone could come through and check out this episode. I really, really appreciate you being here. Please like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. I really appreciate it. If you're listening on audio platform, 49ers Cutback on Believe, please give it a 5-star rating. And if you're going to bet, bet with Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use the promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. And what's up, everyone? And what's up, Josh? Josh in chat says, what's up, man? And how's it going, Josh? And just like Josh did, leaving, you know, a comment in chat, go ahead, ask any questions that you have, display any concerns that you have. Let's have a fun conversation about this. Going to make this show very interactive. And so if you want to have a conversation, let's do it. If not, I'll continue to go through my notes, and that's okay as well. Josh says, my biggest concern is run stuffing the tackle. We added some pieces, but still a toss-up. And that's something that I had on my list. Because when you look at the 49ers team last year, one of the big weaknesses in their losing streak in the middle of the season and then down the road in the playoffs was the run defense. And of course, run on the inside was a problem against the Lions. Run outside was a problem against the Lions. But when you go back and you look at the Cleveland game, you look at Minnesota, you look at those games there, the 49ers struggled when it came to defensive tackle. And the question is, did they answer that? You look at Malik Collins, them trading from him from Houston. I'm not sure Malik Collins is the overall answer, is that run-stuffing defensive tackle, Josh, that you know we're looking for. I think he's going to be really good against the pass. I think he's going to add some quickness to the defensive tackle position. Him and Hargrave, speed, athleticism, able to get into the backfield and create problems. But how are they going to hold up against double teams and against duo blocks? I think it's going to be one of the most interesting things early on in the season. I will say that Jordan Elliott, I believe, is the guy they brought in to help stop the run. And we've seen this method to the 49ers madness before, where you bring in a defensive tackle for that second unit. Hassan Ridgeway is the one that always comes to mind because he was so good at being a run-stuffing defensive tackle. So you bring him in and you allow him to go to work. So I think Elliott can do it. The question mark is, you have one run-stuffing defensive tackle. You need your guys up front to get it done. And that's been a little bit of an issue for the 49ers. Last year, Hargrave wasn't as good against the run as he'd been in the past. And then you were without Arik Armstead for most of the season. So, yes, you're going to have to get something there. Kevin Givens is not known for being a run-stuffing defensive tackle. He wins with speed. He wins with getting skinny and breaking double teams. But when he loses bad. So, yeah, I think that's a question mark we're going to have to see answered. Kalia Davis is a big guy. We didn't see him hold up against the double teams last year in his limited snaps that he got. So he hasn't proven to be the DJ Jones type player they thought he was going to be. So that's something interesting we're going to have to see. And then also a guy like Evan Anderson, what's he going to look like in this 49ers defense? A lot of people extremely excited about him. I haven't got on the full on board about Evan Anderson and being as excited as a lot of people are. I like his size. I like the ability potentially to stay low and play with the low center of gravity, but I have some concerns about how quick he is and whether he's going to be quick enough to be able to be effective. And I know that, you know, he's a guy that could be a two gapper, but it's always tough for those guys to make a transition. And that's why I keep comparing him to Darion Daniels, because I think that is the overall player comparison that I have, is Darion Daniels. And I had the same feelings about him, and ultimately he didn't work out. So I'm hoping Evan Anderson's different. I'd love for him to be a big-time player and be able to make some things happen. What's up, Eric? Eric Dane in the chat. How's it going? Steve-O says, three-box safety should help the run. It definitely can. And I think that, you know, bringing guys and bringing safeties into the box is always important. When you have Talanoa Hufanga, he's spectacular when it comes to run fits. But when are you going to have Talanoa Hufanga? That's the question. Talanoa Hufanga has been dealing with the knee, and we know he's going to come back some point in training camp. They're going to ramp him up, and hopefully the goal is going to have him available for week one. He's great in the box. I thought Jair Brown got better and better as the season went on. You would see him kind of fly, you'll fly up and make some plays. And I think he can get better and better in run fits and better at playing in the box. And then you've got Malik Mustafa, who seems to be in the same mold. So I think those guys being in the box will be important. I think Nick Sorensen's usage of those guys and having some unique looks and some unique opportunities to adjust and have some different blitz packages is going to be huge. But I mean, in this league, teams are really just capable and ready to be able to go, okay, you got two high safeties, we're going to run the football. Oh, you have single high safety, we're going to throw. So I think it's important to show pre-snap looks and then change post-snap. And I don't think we got as much of that last year as we will hopefully get out of Coach Sorensen and what we plan on doing in San Francisco this season. I think that there needs to be a little bit more packaging to what they do. I think last year it was sometimes too vanilla from Steve Wilks. And ultimately, when you get vanilla, when you get quarterbacks that understand defensive schemes and philosophies, and you know what your route concepts are, you can find matchups that work your way, or you can find holes. And so I think that that is going to help a lot. If you go back and you watch Detroit down the stretch, Steve Wilks did a masterclass in showing one thing and showing man coverage and then being in zone. And it not just made the Lions struggle, but it got Goff really off his game down the stretch in the second half. That is something I'd like to see from Sorensen the entire year. Make these quarterbacks trust their eyes in post-snap reads and not just pre-snap reads. But yeah, you're right, Steve-O. Three safeties will definitely help. And I think safety is another concern that a lot of people have. 49er Classic in the house says, "Ant, keep up the great work." Thanks so much, Classic. I really appreciate it. Josh says, "Liking the Yetur Gross-Matos signing more and more." I think the more you hear the coaches talk about him, the more excited you get about him, because we know how important the role that he's going to play is going to be on this football team. Because if you really want to go after the quarterback, you can now put Gross-Matos in that defensive tackle role to rush the passer on third and long, and he can handle himself. And so getting that Arden Key type role is important. And last year they didn't have that. Charles Omenihue was the last guy that could do it. But of course, last year he was a free agent, went to Kansas City, and that role was definitely missing. But I also felt like Steve Wilks didn't really have that role in his defense. I don't know if that was a Chris Kocurek thing. Maybe he didn't trust those guys. But we had Randy Gregory, we had Chase Young, and they weren't as effective, as far as Randy Gregory playing inside as we're hoping Gross-Matos is. But Gross-Matos is good against the run. He's going to be able to set the edge when he plays his base defensive end position. But also, if you have third and five, you can put him in at defensive tackle, and he can play the run well enough that he can still rush the passer. So I think there's going to be a lot of versatility on third and long. You put him inside, or you put like Bosa or Leonard Floyd inside, and then now you can run stunts off of that with the athleticism on the inside with him and Hargrave or him and Collins. You're going to be able to get those guys to the outside with your twists and your stunts, and I think that can be huge for the San Francisco 49ers. Josh says, "Is Campbell an upgrade versus the run over Greenlaw?" I like Devondre Campbell. I think that he definitely catches strays. I think a lot of people look at what happened over the last couple years in Green Bay, and they don't think that Devondre Campbell is that player that can step in and play well. But I think Campbell has been stuck in a rock at a hard place over the last couple years playing in Green Bay's defense. I think he was played a little bit differently than what's really uses his skill set. And I think that's why he's excited to get back into this defense that they're going to be running in San Francisco. He ran it in Atlanta. He is a good run stopper. And I think that is going to be something that's definitely important for the 49ers. And I think for the early part, that's one place he'll be able to bridge the gap from Dre Greenlaw being hurt to being healthy. We won't have to worry about the run defense as much because Campbell is good at shedding blocks. He's good at recognizing his holes, getting downhill, making tackles. He doesn't have the same speed at this point in his career that Dre Greenlaw has, but he can definitely cover enough ground to get it done. So he's going to be able to cover that hole. I don't know if he's better at run defense right now than Dre Greenlaw. I want to see him at this point in his career in this defense. But I think he's got the potential to hold it over until Greenlaw gets back. I think he could play at Greenlaw's level, and who knows, maybe he could play better in the run game. My concern is when we get to third down and we go to our nickel package, and all of a sudden out goes, your third linebacker, here comes the nickel, and Devondre Campbell's at will linebacker covering in space. That's where Dre Greenlaw has an extreme advantage over Devondre Campbell. I think Campbell is sufficient, but that's where I would worry. So I wonder how quickly D. Winters gets up to speed with his athleticism, ability to close, You wonder if at some point before Dre Greenlaw gets back, if D Winters can't move into that sub package. But I would still lean towards Campbell. His intelligence, understanding concepts, understanding this defense means you don't have to be as fast. You're probably going to put yourself in the right situation, but he's a guy that I definitely want to see. So I'm interested in what he's going to be in this defense. And Kenny said he's got a major echo. So let me know if there's something else. Steve-O says it's just that. Josh says right guard is a concern if Feliciano is starting over Burford, in my opinion. That's another position that was on my list, because I think if one position was talked about the most during the entire offseason, especially free agency, and then leading up to the draft, it had to be the fact that the offensive line was a concern. After the Super Bowl last year and just seeing what happened with them being able to get to the quarterback, it was a real concern for the offseason. Now, we've heard Chris Forster's conversation, his talk, his philosophy. I did a video on that. I'm sure most of you have checked it out. But their philosophy is, can we just be good enough? Can we be good enough? And I think that the 49ers think they are good enough. That's one thing I think is clear. And going into the draft, I was pretty clear that my beliefs were, whether we thought so or not, the 49ers believed that their offensive line was good enough, that they were happy with their offensive line, and they just wanted to add a little bit of depth and a little bit of competition. So John Feliciano, they brought him back, and they talked, Chris Forster's talked in the offseason about Spencer Burford being the most talented of the interior offensive linemen. And I believe he's right. When you look at athleticism, and I went back because this is just who I am, I went back and watched Spencer Burford's rookie season, and I went back and watched some of the snaps from last year, and there are moments where Spencer Burford is absolutely fantastic, and he does great, and then there are lapses where he struggles a little bit. So I think I want to see what Burford does in training camp. If Burford's able to step up and start, and it's interesting the way Forster's putting Dominic Pooney behind Spencer Burford, like that's going to be a competition for starting right guard. If that is the case, what does that mean for Feliciano? I thought that coming in after they re-signed Feliciano that it appeared it was going to be Feliciano at right guard, Jake Brendel at center. But could they be gearing up for Feliciano and Brendel to compete at center and for Burford and Pooney to compete at guard? I think it's a real possibility that Spencer Burford could be in the starting lineup for the 49ers, because I know that Burford is a competitor. Everything about this dude screams guy that's not going to let what happened last year stand.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
And he's going to make improvements. He has too much character not to. So, I think that's going to be an interesting point of view is, you know, if Feliciano's not starting at right guard, are we in trouble? And, you know, I don't know. I don't know right now, but I'm hoping that that's not the case. So it should be hopefully pretty good. JD says good against the run. Yeah, very true. So, I mean, that's the thing. We just got to get these guys to fix things, you know, get things going for these guys to get in the right spots and get things done. And JD says, hey, don't forget about Ben Bartsch. Yeah, definitely not forgetting about Ben Bartsch. And we have had reports now. Of course, Bartsch is taking center snaps. And actually, Nick Sakel's taking center snaps as well. So 49ers have many options when it comes to interior offensive line and at the center position, especially with Jake Brendel dealing with knee tendonitis. So you've got a lot of options there. You've got some young guys as well. So they've got plenty of competition when it comes to interior offensive line. But question marks are always going to abound. And, you know, right here, Kenny's not happy with Spencer Burford. And I'm telling you, people are going to be surprised when Spencer Burford comes out and shows out during training camp. I really believe it. I think that last year, you know, he definitely didn't have the best season. But when you go look between those snaps, and this is how coaches do, coaches will evaluate every single snap you had during the entire season. You are going to see a lot of great snaps from Spencer Burford. The key is consistency, and Burford hasn't showed enough consistency yet, but you see those moments. So now you're just hoping you can get more of those moments as you continue to work with him. And that's what makes you optimistic. Part of the reason I love Dominic Pooney during the draft process was consistency. Every single snap, he was consistent, and that's why he made sense for someone they drafted. So Spencer Burford is going to make some things happen, and Mr. Corey is not excited about Burford. He's laughing. Yeah, hey, that's all right. I don't mind when we have disagreements because I have my opinions, and I see what happens, and I see what these guys are doing on the field. And, yeah, I mean, a lot of people's thought processes are the last thing they saw, Spencer Burford. He made a mistake in the Super Bowl, and that wrote off his entire career because he made a mistake. I don't think so. I think Spencer Burford's better than that, and I don't think his biggest mistake is going to define his career. And so I think he's going to be a little bit better than that this season. So, yeah, I think Burford's going to be in the mix. And I don't know if he's going to start over John Feliciano. I'm not sure that anyone, you know, wants that to happen. I know I do, because if Spencer Burford starts over John Feliciano, that means he's improved his game enough to start. We've seen Burford start a lot of games in his rookie season and do pretty well. So I don't think we just throw him out. Let's see what happens. It's a pivotal year. If he stays where he was in his sophomore season, then everyone's going to be correct. If Spencer Burford isn't going to materialize into that player we were hoping he's going to be. But he could also bounce back this year, and all of a sudden we're talking about him the same way we were talking about Banks last year as a player that is playing so good. And, of course, Banks had some injuries that really hurt him. But, yeah. Josh says, Yedem, Ward, Lenore, or Green? Ward and Lenore. It's an interesting one, and I think cornerback depth was a concern for the 49ers going into the offseason. What happened with Ambry Thomas during the season, he just was so inconsistent. There were moments where he flashed and he made plays, and you're like, oh, Ambry Thomas has arrived. And then there were moments you just question what is going on. And I think that was very close to what we saw from Akilah Witherspoon in 2019, where there were moments where Spoon was just all over it. He was tough. And you're like, man, Spoon's here. And there are moments you're like, man, can we get Emmanuel Moseley? Because Spoon is just struggling with his inconsistency. So the 49ers definitely addressed this. Isaac Yedem, I think, was a great signing. And then they go out and they get Renardo Green in the draft. And so they've built the top part of this cornerback room. And Ward and Lenore, Josh, I think we all agree, are the two best cornerbacks on the San Francisco 49ers team. The question will be, how quickly can Renardo Green translate to playing nickel corner? If he can figure it out early, then there's a chance that you're going to get Lenore and Ward playing outside the whole time with Green coming in a nickel. I think there's going to be a slow process with that, because even though I love Renardo Green, I've watched him play so many snaps over his career, I just believe there's going to be a transition to playing nickel because of run fits. Run fits has been one of the most problematic things for nickel corners with the 49ers organization. That's part of the reason they went to Isaiah Oliver last year, was they believed they could get a guy who was going to be really good in run fits. What they weren't aware is that he was going to struggle so much when it came to coverage. So Renardo Green translating to run fits is going to be important. Right now, during OTAs, during minicamp, there was no way for him to really improve. They could tell him where he's supposed to be, but until they actually see it and they get in pads and guys start getting moved around and you see how much space you're going to have to fill, can you get a full understanding of it? And it's so important, because teams want to put you in nickel packages. They want to come out in 11 personnel, and then they want to find a way to run the ball right at that nickel corner and take advantage of him if he's not capable of stopping the run game. So you've got to act like a third linebacker, all the while being one of the better cornerbacks on the team. It's a tough job to have. I think Renardo Green takes time to translate to playing nickel corner in the NFL. And I think early on in the season, Isaac Yedem will be the third corner in. So I think it'll be Lenore Ward on the outside at first, then Isaac Yedem coming in the Ambry Thomas role from last year, with Lenore moving to the nickel in those 70 to 75% of snaps. The 49ers have to play nickel because that's all the rave in the NFL, 11 personnel putting everyone in sub packages. So to me, that makes the most sense. But I think they got a lot better. And I am curious what Rakusin is going to look like this season. You know, he's coming off that injury, played last year at Baltimore, but definitely wasn't the same. Is he back? Early reports, there are moments he looked like he was back. So I'm curious how quickly he will be back at playing, you know, at the top level. And here you go. I didn't even see this comment yet, but Josh said Rakusin is a sneaky good signing with great upside. I love it too. I thought that it was smart to get a savvy veteran who, I mean, they believe coming out of college was a second round pick. He's got nice length. He's got nice range. He plays physical when it comes to the run game. He's tough. He's physical when it comes to getting against receivers and stopping them from getting in and out of their breaks. I think it's important. So I think that that was another concern for the 49ers, and I definitely think that they answered it. So, I mean, O-line, the D-line, run defense were definitely concerns for the 49ers. Safety, we touched on a little bit. And I think a lot of the concern of it is more about Hufanga's health. If Hufanga's back and ready to go, you feel comfortable with Jair Brown and Talanu Hufanga. I don't know how comfortable I feel with George Odom being the next guy in. I don't know if he's ready for that. Nick Sorensen had some nice things to say about him being capable and ready and able. So maybe George Odom is taking another step forward in his third year in the 49ers defense. We'll see. And then Malik Mustafa, we'll see how quickly he acclimates to the NFL game. I love the size. I love the speed. I love the athleticism. I love the intelligence. I mean, the guy is football savvy. So safety, you know, that's something still that I think is to be kind of examined and looked at. And then cornerback depth, we talked about a little bit. Rakusin and Isaac Yedem, Renardo Green, huge additions, because Samuel Womack and Ambry Thomas just haven't worked out. So I think those were good. And then another concern a lot of people have had is Jake Moody. And I know we've heard a lot from Coach Snyder about the fact that Jake Moody really handled it the offseason like a pro. He looked at the necessary weaknesses that he had in his game or the things that he struggled with. He said Mitch Wishnowsky has really helped him come along, and that veteran leadership from Wishnowsky. So I think, you know, Jake Moody is going to be a big concern for a lot of 49er fans. Are we going to get the Moody we thought, you know, when they drafted him in the third round, that's going to make every single kick like Robbie Gould always did? We do know he has the leg. So I think that he's going to be a concern until the concern is answered. I think that he showed a lot last year. He showed a lot of confidence, and he showed a lot of ability to bounce back in the face of adversity. I mean, you miss an extra point like that in the Super Bowl, and you know it's one of those things where you could get down on yourself and you could be in a hole, but instead he comes out, he rocks a 50-yard field goal or plus 50-yard field goal. That is very impressive. So I think even though Moody could be considered a little bit of a struggle, I think Jake Moody is going to be just fine. And Josh says, give us your week one defensive end depth. So, of course, I think everyone knows it's going to be Bosa and Leonard Floyd starting. I think Yetur Gross-Matos is defensive end 3. And then I'm going with Robert Beal as defensive end 4. Recently, I've changed my opinion on Drake Jackson from Drake Jackson making the 53-man roster to Drake Jackson being on the PUP list to start the season. I think just looking at his knee and his recovery, I don't know if he's going to make it back for training camp. So I think the 49ers might go ahead and be careful with Drake Jackson and look to bring him back, you know, week 5, week 6 down the road, probably week 6, bring him back and potentially have him available for the second half of the season. So I think Robert Beal Jr. is going to be that guy. And then I think the 49ers will have a couple of guys on the practice squad, Austin Bryant, potentially a guy that could be there that could step in. You could make active if you need, but yeah, I think Beal's going to be the fourth guy. Gross-Matos will be the third guy as far as defensive end depth. Mr. Corey says Pooney and Cowing are my favorite rookie breakouts. Darrell Luter Jr. and D Winters are my second gear breakouts. Yeah, Dominic Pooney, it's going to be, can he get on the field in year one? Aaron Banks talked a little bit about his transition to the NFL game. Of course, Coach Chris Foerster also talked about the fact he played in an offensive scheme that wasn't very similar to what the 49ers run as far as, you know, the angles, the design. It's just a little bit different. I think when you look at Dominic Pooney, though, he's a very confident individual. He's very intelligent, and he's been able to step up his game with every advancement going from high school to college and then from where he was at in college into a better situation at Kansas. So he has definitely been continuing to equip himself. So I don't know how quickly he's going to transition. I do know that it's difficult. Aaron Banks struggled mightily in year one. I don't think Pooney will have the same struggles that Banks did, but I also don't know if he's going to get thrust in the starting lineup the way Burford did. But Burford and Pooney are going to be competing. That's going to push both of them. And Pooney is a very solid player. If he can figure out the run blocking, then he's got a shot to get into the lineup. If he can't adjust to what the 49ers want when it comes to run blocking, that's going to be his issue. But as far as pass blocking, I think he's going to do pretty good. He has good lateral quickness. He's able to move. So I think he'll be just fine with that. Another question mark for 49er fans and a concern that they have that they continually bring up is defensive coordinator Nick Sorensen. A lot of people think he's just a placeholder. He's not really the guy that the 49ers wanted to hire, but they didn't want to ruffle a lot of feathers. So I think that, you know, Nick Sorensen's going to be something the 49ers are concerned about, if our 49er fans are concerned about well into the season, because he's going to have to prove it consistently. He's going to have to prove that he can get it done. Everyone remembers last year kind of the struggles and the internal struggle that happened with Coach Steve Wilks, from some of the questions about what he was doing at certain times to him having to go from the booth to the sideline. And I think the 49ers have tried to work that all out. I think they've tried to bring in other coaches as well to help him out and help him be in the best position to be successful. But I think there's still going to be concerns. But there's not just concerns with Sorensen. For some, they still question Kyle Shanahan's ability to win in the biggest moment. And Shanahan has won playoff games. He's won NFC championship games. He's done a pretty good job, but people still question his ability to win the Super Bowl. The fact is he hasn't won a Super Bowl yet. So until he does, people are going to be concerned about Kyle Shanahan's ability to win a Super Bowl. So I don't know what you guys believe. I believe Kyle Shanahan can win a Super Bowl. I think he has the ability to do so. And he's came up just short. It is 2 times as head coach to win that game. But Nick Sorensen and Kyle Shanahan are definitely going to be at the forefront of people's minds when they're looking at bringing guys in. And, you know, that's just how it goes. And Josh says, Nick should fare pretty well. I think he's going to do pretty good. I think just listening to him, he's getting more comfortable. I think that was a problem with his first presser. He was very uncomfortable, so it was not exactly the best presser. I know when me and Mark talked about it, Mark was not a huge fan of Sorensen.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Jewelry can say many things on your wedding day. As a wedding band, it can say, "This is a forever symbol of our forever love." As a gift to your wedding party, it can say, "Thanks for standing up there with us." Blue Nile can help you find the piece that says it all and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Presser for sure. And we talked about it and he said, you know, he did look like he was nervous. So maybe that's it. But I think the more we hear him, the more consistent his rhetoric gets. You get the feeling more so that he's more in line with Sala and what you got from D'Amico Ryan. So I think he'll be just fine. And Josh says top seven defense. Would love that. If the 49ers have a top seven defense, and with the offensive weapons and Brock Purdy, they should have a top three offense. That puts them in prime position again to run the shop and run everything that happens in the NFC and make sure that it comes through San Francisco. The NFC West, they definitely have to win that, but they've been dominating over the last several years. Have the Rams, have the Seahawks, have the Cardinals done enough to close the gap? I think that's still to be determined. Rams are still extremely young on their defense, and same with Seattle. Seattle's had some fantastic drafts, but it hasn't materialized into stopping teams from scoring a lot of points on them. They're going to have a new defensive philosophy. Pete Carroll's gone, so that defense is going to change. We don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but talent in the NFC West is definitely there. So what about teams? Because who is the biggest concern when it comes to teams for the 49ers? Is it the Detroit Lions? I mean, they had the 49ers pretty much dead to rights in that first half, but then a second half happened. The 49ers were able to overtake them and win that game. Then there's the Green Bay Packers. And a lot of people, I mean, you got Packers players, Nixon saying, "Hey, we let them off the hook." And they think that they're right there with the 49ers. And we've seen the Packers believe this before. For whatever reason, the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan pretty much have owned the Packers in the playoffs for a long time. So, of course, it's Jordan Love. They got a lot of talent on offense, so that one's interesting. They're going to have a new defensive coordinator, Joe Barry, out, and now they're bringing in a new defense. So it's going to change things there. Or is it the Chiefs? You know, are these real concerns for the 49ers? I think there are some people that wonder if the 49ers have done enough to meet where the Chiefs are. I think that's going to be determined, but the Chiefs have to get out of the AFC. Now, they have consistently been able to do it. 49ers haven't done it as consistently. They've only been able to do it twice. Of course, 2021, we had the Jaquiski Tartt drop on the interception. 2022 was the Brock Purdy injury, which made that game very tough. But 2019, 2023, they were able to get it done. So I think those are some big things the 49ers and concerns that they're going to have is going to be interesting. And Josh says the Rams are a concern. A healthy Stafford is a dangerous team. And I think that that is true. I think their defense has gotten better, but I don't think they've done enough yet. And they got some young players that in a couple years, Jared Verse and Byron Young rushing opposite of each other is going to be fantastic. They brought in Braden Fisk. He's going to run the five tech there, and he's got a lot of athleticism. Their linebackers still lack a little bit to be desired, but that defensive line, they've definitely started building there. Interesting philosophy change from recent years. They're building on the defensive line. Seattle's building on the defensive line. 49ers have been doing that for a long time. So you're seeing the philosophies. Rams and Seahawks are trying to prepare to stop the San Francisco 49ers offense. But you're right. If Matthew Stafford is healthy and able to pull the trigger with the weapons that they have on offense, they are a concern. That's why when I did my prediction show, I actually picked the Rams to win one of the games. I think that it's a real possibility because the Rams with Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua and that running game that they got going with Kyren Williams really do have a lot of ability. And so the 49ers got to make sure they're on their P's and Q's. They got to make sure they are ready because Stafford last year in week two absolutely carved up the 49ers for the first part of the game. He was just boom, boom, boom. Wilkes was letting those plays happen underneath, rallying to make tackles, and he was accurate and accurate and accurate. It was just so quick. He just did a really good job. And when you could get the ball out like that and get it at accurate throws, then that defensive line, it can't be as effective in stopping the pass. So it was a weird way for the 49ers to start that game. They fixed it in the second half. And hopefully you'll see something different from Sorensen this season. They'll come out and really not allow the Rams to do that. And here we go. Lou's in the house. What's up, Lou? How's it going? It says, late to the party, did you discuss BA holdout? I haven't discussed BA holdout. We'll see. I mean, I know he held out of mandatory minicamp, and you know that's the first time he really held out of anything. OTAs, I don't consider that a holdout. But I mean, I think that if there's not a deal that is done, there's a real possibility he won't show up to training camp. And why should he show up to training camp if he doesn't have a new deal? That's kind of the norm for how players handle it. I think the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk will still try to work on getting something done over the next several weeks, trying to get this thing together. But to me, it's just moving the direction of all the other ones. And here's what Lou has to say as well. And BA has already accumulated $101,000 in no-show fines. The fine for missing training camp is $50,000 per day. That's approximately $750,000. Missing three preseason games equals 1 week of salary times three. That's a lot of money. And that's why the 49ers feel like they have the advantage on this. They're the ones with the leverage because Brandon Ayuk has made pretty good money in his career because he was a first-round pick. But when you start missing games, you're basically missing almost losing $1 million per game that you hold out. So the likelihood of Brandon Ayuk holding out all the way through training camp, all the way through the preseason, and then into the season, I think is more unlikely. So the 49ers feel that at some point there is an end to this timetable of when they get him signed, and at some point somebody's going to budge. And I think they're hoping that Brandon Ayuk is going to budge and meet the contract demands that they have. This is negotiations. This is what happens. You have a timeline and you have an ending point. And when you get to that ending point, that's usually when things start getting done. Right now, even though they'd love to get it done, both sides would love to get this thing done, they're not at that point yet. They're not at a finish line. So you're right. The fines are going to start to pile up. And that is not on the 49ers. That is on Brandon Ayuk. And so that's why they have leverage. So it's going to be interesting. We'll see if Ayuk ends up showing up and being available during training camp. Maybe they'll come to an agreement. But the saga does not end. And it feels like every single year the 49ers have had some sort of saga when it comes to contract negotiations. The only time we didn't is when it was Trent Williams, and that's because he signed right before free agency started. But he was going to go to potentially Kansas City if the 49ers didn't do it. So those types of things got done early. But every time the 49ers have had an extension, George Kittle, Fred Warner, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, this thing is kind of stretched out. So I don't expect it to get done in the next day or so. I would love that. But I think it'll be, you know, training camp time when it starts getting closer. I think that's when the deadline really sets in and they start figuring out how to get Brandon Ayuk under contract and into training camp. So it's going to happen here pretty soon, and hopefully they'll get it done. I'd like to thank everyone for joining me for this episode. Please like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. I really appreciate it. This episode was brought to you by Bet Online. The game starts here. I'll catch you guys in the next one. Until then, stay safe. And remember, the right way is always the 49ers way.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.